The words of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 13, verses 12 to 16. It is page 321 in the New Testament. It is Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. Allow me to read the words. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, then too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Amen. Among the books of Eric Fromm, a psychoanalyst and a social philosopher, there is a book called To Have or To Be. He wrote a lot of books about recovery of lost humanity, and he wrote Escape from Freedom at age 41 and The Art of Loving at age 56. But this book, To Have or To Be, was written when he was 76. He lived to 80, and therefore it was written during the stage of his life, which was more or less complete. So the type of man which is talked about in the book is not an ideal man, which young people may dream of, but a real man who is regarded from the perspective of someone who has a lot of years behind him. Fromm says that it is very ordinary for a man to follow after the mode of to have. After all, you have to have something in order to live, and you can only enjoy something when you have it. But he emphasizes that the great teachers of life taught that it is only when you overcome the desire to have that you can arrive at the state of to be. In other words, only going from a life of to have to be can a man be saved economically, psychologically, and socially. I want to introduce you to poems which well represents to have mode of being and to be mode of being as introduced by this book. It is a short poem by the English poet Alfred Tennyson and a short haiku by Basho. The poems are about a flower that each of the two poets saw during a walk. Tennyson's poem goes like this. Flower in the crannied wall, I pluck you out of the crannies. I hold you here, root and all, in my hand. Little flower, but if I could understand what you are, root and all in all, I should know what God and man is. And this is the poem by Basho, the Japanese poet. I look closely. A nazunia has blossomed by the hedge. We can say that the way Tennyson relates to the flower is the mode to have. Tennyson could pluck the flower and could possess it, but the flower ended up being destroyed. But we can say that the relationship between Basho and the flower is the mode to be. What Basho wants is to look at the flower. Not only to look, but becoming one with the flower. And so the flower can also continue to live. What is noteworthy about the modern society, especially the Western society, is that the use of noun is ever decreasing, while the use of noun is increasing. I have a handphone. I have a book. Our basic natural expressions, but expressions like I have a thought is to express I think in the to have mode. Let's assume that someone who wants to receive help from a psychologist said the following: Doctor, I have a problem. I have insomnia. I have a beautiful house, good children, and a happy marriage, but I have a lot of worries. But if these were to be expressed more correctly, he would have to say, I am in pain rather than I have a problem. That I can't sleep rather than I have insomnia. And I'm happily married rather than I have a happy marriage. Like an onion, which you continuously peel off the skin but cannot get to the core, a life of to-have mode can never bring satisfaction because even if one were to get money, power, or fame, you would have the goal of just getting a little more than what I have now. To think that the more you have, you become a greater being, and the less you have, you become a lesser being, is to make material goods the master of human beings. But the mode of to be makes a man's life proactive and stable. If you become happy because of who you are, not because of that thing that you have, you come to have an ego which is not shaken by changes that happen outside. Whether one pursues to have or to be mode of being will depend on one's worldview, values, character, direction, and the degree of one's maturity. But if we are to follow and accept Fromm's words that to change from to have to be mode of being is to make a new society, then we can say that the mode of life of to be is more superior than the mode of life of to have and is much more mature way of being. We are all worshiping together now, but the maturity of our lives and our faith are not the same. We are all moving towards a higher character and deeper faith. John, who is called the Apostle of Love, said the following in the letter that he wrote to the Church of Ephesus at the end of his life. It's 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Apostle John talks about three things that Christians ought to know. What the children need to know is that our sins have been forgiven. What the young men need to know is that we can overcome the evil one. And what the fathers, in other words, the adults, need to know is the one who is from the beginning, the Holy Father. When we first become a Christian, we are deeply moved by the fact that our sins have been forgiven and we have received eternal life. And afterwards, you give thanks to God who walks with you. And you come to realize and confirm that because of the Lord, you are able not to despair, that you were prevented from completely falling, although at times you stumbled, that you did not cave into the world, although at moments it felt like you were defeated. And when you look back on the past was actually a life of victory. And the more you progress in faith, the fact that you are coming to know the Lord and you have fellowship with Him become a source of pride and courage, and you arrive at a stage where you smile just by thinking about the Lord. We will certainly reach this stage as long as we keep our direction towards the Lord. What is important is that Apostle John spoke about Christians in stages, distinguishing children, young men, and father, in other words, adults. Then each of us has responsibilities and duties with respect to the particular stage of growth at which we are at. When a child is born, he becomes or she becomes a source of joy for the whole family. When a child is so cute, there are times that we think we wish for the child to stop growing. But what would happen if the child actually stopped growing at that stage? Then the child will no longer be a source of joy. That is why it is important for us to continue to grow. Today's text testifies well as to how we could grow. Verse 12 testifies as follows, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." The first thing that we should think of in order for our faith to grow is that there is no such thing as a perfection of faith. The resurrected Lord appeared to Paul, who was headed to Damascus with his temper, his secular ambitions, and wrongful fervor, and changed the direction of his life. After that, Paul ran 30 years in one direction. But even so, he still confesses that he has not wholly arrived at his goal. But at the church of Philippi, there were people who considered themselves to have arrived, although they had not. Verse 15 testifies as follows, "All of us, then, who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you." Here, people who think differently refers to people who mistakenly thought that they have wholly arrived. At the time, among Christians, there were those who were influenced by the teachings of legalism and thought that one became whole by keeping the law. And so they thought that it was not necessary for a person who strictly observes the law to learn anything. And of course, within the church, a person like this becomes a troublemaker. Now that they think that they have arrived, who would they listen to? And they always think that what they say and what they think are right, so they become wrong as a result. These people should take an honest look of who they really are, not before others, but before the Lord. It is only then that they can be correctly guided by God. In Greek, to perfectly accomplish something is teleio, and it means perfection. At the London Olympics, Jin Jong-ho got a gold medal at the 10-meter and 50-meter shooting, but it's not the case that he received a 10.9 score by hitting 10, 9 scores by hitting the bullseye each time. So although he may be a gold medalist, when he talks about shooting, he should say, and he must have, he should admit that, not that I have already obtained all this or I have already arrived at my goal. Currently, the world record for marathon is 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 38 seconds. It is 10 minutes faster than when the runner Hwang Young-jo won the gold medal in 1990 at the Barcelona Olympics. And 26 minutes faster than when the runner Son Ki-jang won the gold medal at 1936 Berlin Olympics. If we were to calculate the world record for marathon in terms of 100-meter race, one would need to run 17.58 seconds for each 100 meters. A normal person could probably run 100 meters at 17.58 seconds by running with all his or her might. It is very difficult to run 1,000 meters with such speed. It is almost impossible for a regular person to run over 40 kilometers with such speed. But of course, 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 38 seconds is not perfection. One day, a runner who is faster will appear. We are all running the marathon of faith. There are those who are running the race fast and those who run slowly. Of course, there are those who are walking after running because they are tired out, but there is no one who has wholly arrived at the goal. The second thing that we should think about in order for our faith to grow is to focus on having the right discernment. Verse 13 testifies as follows. I am writing to you, fathers, now, Apostle Paul became seized by Christ. To be seized by Christ means that the reason, the values, and the purpose of one's life have completely changed. Therefore, our life of faith is not about changing environment by having a powerful friend called Jesus Christ, but to have myself changed by the Eternal One, Jesus Christ. A person who lives a life seized by Christ forgets what lies behind and only focuses on what is ahead. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Now, the younger the children are, the more dreams they have. They even change their dreams several times during a year. But as they grow, they learn to distinguish between what they can do, what cannot do, what they do well, and what they like to do. And they also come to tell the difference between what becomes them, what does not become them. To make such distinctions well and to focus on them is to become mature and to have faith grow. The third thing that we should think of in order for our faith to grow is to fix our gaze on the right purpose. Verse 14 testifies as follows. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The right goal for Christians is to fix their gaze on Christ, who is our eternal signpost, and to desire the prize that God intends for us. The first prize that Paul probably thought of, for which God had called him, was the fact that God has entrusted calling to a person who was an enemy of Christ. To us, the calling itself is our prize. There are so many people in the world who are better and more capable than we are. And we don't know why we were called ahead of such persons. So our calling is grace. Our calling is a prize. But the prize of calling does not end with calling itself. What is more important is how we live after we have been called. Now, there are those who got to be in a position that others envy and who do their duties well during the term and complete their time beautifully. On the other hand, there are those who have to resign in the middle because they got involved with a lot of illegitimate dealings. A life lived correctly makes the calling more beautiful and holy. And in verse 14 of today's text in the Bible that I have, there is a footnote 1 in small print before the word heavenward. And the footnote says it could be translated as called from above, but also as called heavenward. Paul, as he was recording these words, was probably thinking of the stadium of his time. As is the case today, at the time, all of the VIP seats were at where one could have the best view of the competition. And the VIP section usually were filled with the rulers. That's where the ruler sat. And when the first place winner arrived, the trumpeter sounded a congratulatory call, and the name of the winner and his father were announced. And at international competitions, the name of the country of the winner was announced. The winner would climb up to receive his prize. Generally, the prize for the marathon was the laurel wreath, and the prize for other competitions was a palm wreath. We too, when we finish running the race of each of our callings, arrive at the kingdom of God, the angels will sound the trumpets and call out our names. And we will climb up to where God is to receive the prize that He has for us. Now Paul says that he's running with all his might for the sake of receiving this prize. And this faith attitude of Apostle Paul was always the same. So there is this saying not only in the letter Apostle Paul sent to Philippi church, but also in a letter sent to Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27 testify as follows. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Now, during antiquity, there were largely two types of games, games for records and games that were about fights. Now, games for records included sports like running and horse racing, and for fights, there were sports like boxing and wrestling. And even back then, it is said that the participants were trained for 10 months at a place similar to the Taejung training village of our country. And there was a saying among those who were training. Young men who wish to win the race must have a lot of patience and must make a lot of efforts. He must suffer both heat and cold and cut himself off from love and drinks. And there was also this saying, how many blows must the boxers suffer on their faces and how many more on their bodies? But they all endure all pain for their desire for glory. But what they receive as a result of such efforts is a crown that will not last. By by a crown that will not last, crown that will rot. Rather than meaning that it is useless or meaningless, what I mean is that it's only temporary. Excellent sports stars receive a lot of medals and trophies, but after 5-10 years, their colors all fade away. If we look at the prizes that we received when we were children, rather than thinking, wow, we were really smart in the past, but how fast the time has gone by. But we run in order to gain that which will not rot, which is not temporary. To know the right direction and the right goal in order to gain such a prize are critical. Even if we're running, and even if we are faster than the Usain Bolt or Lee Bong-ju, if we ran backwards rather than forward, what would happen? We could never win. The more we run, the greater will be our loss, and we will do a greater harm to ourselves. The direction is more important than running. So it is far more important to know the object for which I'm passionate rather than living passionately. And no matter what an outstanding boxer I am, I can win only by being accurate. I do not win by taking a lot of swings. I can only win when I attack the opponent accurately many times. False swings only take more out of you the more you do them and are disadvantageous to the boxer. There is a saying in boxing, the more you are hit on the stomach, the stronger you get, and the more you are hit on the chin, the weaker you get. When the boxer trains, he does his best to increase his tolerance for punches. So he practices taking a lot of punches on his stomach. But there is no boxer who practices taking a punch on his head in order to make an iron head that can withstand multiple blows. Rather, they put on headgears to protect the head and practice. And in case of amateurs, competition between amateurs, they even compete with the headgears on. But Paul says he does not strike at an opponent, but that he hits himself in order to obtain the crown of victory that does not decay. And not to be considered as just unqualified before God. Now this year, the motto of our church is, what is your reward? In order for us to become persons who receive the prize from God, it would be difficult to do so without striking a blow to ourselves. In other words, to deny ourselves. When I finish my life here on earth and stand before the Lord, there is one thing I desire. It is for the Lord to embrace me and say, thank you, Andrew. Thank you. That's what I want to hear. And so I pray often, God, help me not to change. Help me to fear you, not to become tainted with secular values, and to live my whole life as a pastor until I stand before you. Of course, there is evil and weak nature inside of me, and it is not easy to live that way. So at times, I gather myself up again when I fall down. And at times, I go to the Lord when I despair that I have to do that. Sometimes I meet people who say, should you believe in Jesus because of a prize? If you believe that Jesus died on the cross for us, we should serve even without any kind of prize. Yes, we believe in Jesus in order to be saved, in order to receive the prize. Only the issue is whether the prize is something you want to receive here on earth or at the heaven. There are also those who sometimes say that, isn't it enough for us to get to heaven? And what need is there for a reward? But those who subscribe to such idealistic view are strange Christians. Hebrews chapter 11 is called the chapter of faith. Now, what is common about many characters of faith who appear there is that they lived with the eternal prize that they were to receive at heaven, not on this earth. And so verse 6 of chapter 11 testifies as follows. And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. To say that we don't need a prize when God says He will give us a prize is to ignore Him. God made human beings so that we will live more passionately as we look forward to a prize. So we try harder, no matter what it is, if there is a prize to it. Of course, if we think that such a prize only means consists of material and secular things, it would be to make God's name unholy. That only those who truly believe in the prize from God can become faithful Christians. In order for our faith to grow well, we must know that there is no such thing as arriving at a perfect faith while we are here on earth. We must know to focus on things which we have picked out in discernment and to fix our gaze on the right goal. And in terms of practicality, what this involves, verse 16 testifies as follows. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. A degree of maturity and the depth of our faith are all different for each of us, but what is required of us is to do as befitting of the level that we have attained. The level of our thinking, the way we think, is not our level. How we live is the actual level at which we are at. The meaning of the word stokeo is to march in a line. We are all people who are running in line towards the prize for which God has called us heavenward. There are people in front of us, people who are behind us. But so long as we do not leave the line, run to the end, we will all receive the prize for which God has called us. At the beginning, I spoke about Eric Fromm's book, To Have or To Be. I will ask you, are you closer to the mode of being which is to have or to be? Between being and having, which reveals life better? But, of course, a man is not simple as to be categorized between a being and having. All men go back and forth between being and having. So, we men are beings who are behaving, combining the being and the having. We are beings who behave. What is different is the level of behaving. As long as each of us behave to the degree of the maturity that we have attained, the depth of our faith that we have come to reach, our society will become purified, our churches will become brighter, and we will become models of people who run towards the prize. Let us pray. Our Father, thank You for allowing us to reflect once again that each of our lives and faith must continue to grow and mature until the day we stand before You. Help us so that we will never for one moment think mistakenly or harbor an illusion that because we have believed for a long time, our faith has become perfected. And as we live on this land where values are muddied and are filled with secular waters, add to us the correct discernment and the grace to focus on things that we have picked out with such discernment. Furthermore, allow us to focus our gaze on Jesus Christ, our signpost and a prize to which God has called us. Like Paul, who lived faithfully as a runner 30 years after he was called as an apostle, allow us also to live as a racer of the faith of our whole lives while we are here on earth. The time in which the Lord has called us and the speed with which we are walking and running the race are all different. There were times when we lived as to have persons, and there were times when we struggled hard to live as to be persons. No matter where we happen to be now, help us to become the Lord's children who actually behave as befitting the level of maturity that each of us has attained. And so as the time goes by, may all of our doings become more righteous, deeper, and ever wider. And thereby may we taste the grace of my life becoming beautiful and sanctified, our families becoming renewed, the Korean church becoming healed, and our nation becoming mature. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.